ready, Jack?
Bring it.
I already did. I already hit record.
Oh, my gosh.
Another episode of the Breckening Podcast. I'm Brian Breckenridge, the host and the guy that makes this shit happen. I'm here with Jack Russell.
Hiya.
Named after the dog. Yeah, that just had to get that out.
Yeah, my parents didn't know a lot about dogs.
Oh, really? Is that just...
Yeah.
It's a good last name. And then, yeah, and then they set you up for that.
So I found out that Russell is an old French word for redhead.
Oh.
Which worked out well.
That does. You're a deceptive ginger. I don't really...
It's a subtle the beard's, gingeriness.
You know, getting white, you know, graying with age.
You said wise?
Yeah. Or,
yeah, the beard's getting wise.
Okay, yeah, what? Well, let's pretend I said that. and you're mostly hatted when you're out and about.
That's the receding hairline.
Usually if people are ginger, it's very apparent.
Yeah, they can be a lot.
You see.
Horrifyingly pasty and just the orangest hair.
There's a comic buddy of ours there who just massive mane of red hair.
And oh, Carrot Top.
Massive red beard. No, the off. Yeah, no. And all that. And his last name's Murphy, too. So it's just every.
Oh, it's a lot.
Checks every.
It's a lot.
Stereotype.
So, reeks of whiskey.
Oh, no. Yeah. He switched to beer now for societal reasons. Anyways.
Stouts.
But no, this is about you. You are a longtime pal, and you're a musician and an artist. Am I forgetting anything?
Let's
dive into those.
That's most of it. Those are the things I do in public.
You've probably in public. Okay, we can just leave it public.
Yeah, we don't.
That's fine. We don't have to
delve too far.
So you've let's start with the art.
Start with the art.
You are the owner, creator, operator, proprietor, whatever of Jackdaw Folk Art.
Exactly. Head employee.
Probably only.
Only employee.
You design and print and sell.
All the things.
Maybe occasionally do some inventory.
Yeah, I got inventory.
You have what I think stands out about Jackdaw is like your style. You definitely have a style. Like,
thank you. Yes,
especially now. I showed I did like some light hole digging for my mom today, and I was telling her about the podcast I go record. And I showed her. I was like, he definitely has a style. Did it take some time like to get to that, or
it. It's
I mean,
funny
obviously, probably it's art. You know?
I think it works as a style. Like people like it, and it works as a style. But it's literally the only way I know how to draw.
Okay.
And so like I don't know how to do other things. I just draw, and that's what it looks like.
But it
works.
You've cornered the market on you.
Yeah, and it's very cohesive because I literally can't do any better. So just do the best I could do. And they're the same across the board.
But you keep coming out with stuff. You know, you have, I think one of your bigger things, at least, you know, online or me, you had like Big Tex.
Oh, yeah.
State Fair Texas. Is that probably one of your bigger sellers?
He is definitely in my top three sellers. Very iconic. Everybody loves the Big Tex,
yeah.
And especially with him catching on fire.
Yeah.
We all
have
a good
two
time
different
with
versions,
that.
Probably a classic.
I have three, actually.
Unflamed.
I have sort of a Day of the Dead version of Tex with fire all around him, and then I have the Saint Tex piece where he's got a little halo and he's kind of sainted.
Okay.
And then I have Lil Tex where he's like a little baby cowboy playing with matches.
Oh, that's
just to
amazing.
Give you a little insight for the future.
Wow, that's awesome. For Christmas, I went to you specifically because I knew I'm terrible at gifts, but I knew my lady would like the Dolly Parton.
There's something for everyone, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have, you pick a thing, like you have plenty of subject matter.
I'm well-rounded.
That you can funnel through your unique style, or, you know, as you say, your only style, but it is unique.
Yes, it is unique. Yeah. Most people would either be better at it or not show it. So you don't see a lot in my wavelength.
And you mostly do the prints?
Yeah, pretty much all printmaking, all linoleum cut prints.
And that's what, you know, you can really produce more because we are currently in Jack's studio / house and out in the garage, you have your tea-stained paper. And that gives it like a little... very light brownish hue,
just a little funk, a little,
and then you can print on top of that. But you know, it's just that's what you know, like this podcast, it's DIY baby,
exactly.
And that's amazing, and that's your career.
Everything's a little wet and sticky. It's DIY. It's just stuff.
And so you make them here. You tea stain the paper and do the prints here.
Print them on my kitchen counter and hang them in the hallway to dry.
Okay, they get a little drafty. You know, just exactly. Get some wind in there. and then, how many places do you go like in a week to sell this?
I might average maybe just one a week. Okay. Or, you know, it could be three in one weekend and zero the next weekend.
You have some steady places like the Lola's Sunday Rummage Sale.
There's a lot of monthly markets.
Yeah, you're probably like always there.
Yeah, Lola's Rummage Sale is a great one.
Yeah, it's Sunday afternoon, plenty of families, plenty of walking around.
Right, food trucks, music,
everything,
margaritas and tacos.
Everything you need for people to
tons
walk
of art,
by.
Tons of vendors.
And be like, wait, what? That caught my eye. That's amazing how much. You're like, $20, man. Or
they're like, dang, yeah, I had like three beers. Give it to me.
Can you break a 50?
Not yet.
Don't give me two. You're like, all right. But, yeah, okay, yeah. So you have like, these steady ones, and then you have like something that's like, you know, maybe quarterly or something you can pop into.
Yeah, there's...
sign up for as a vendor, obviously. Right. That's your angle in all this.
That's usually how it goes, yeah.
That's it. Okay. But,
yeah. Sorry. I don't know what else to do with that.
I guess not that exciting. yeah, because art, you know, it goes on in your head.
Yeah.
And you have to sit and create it. You know, it's not like an action-packed lifestyle like as a comedian.
Yeah. With my creating process, you might see me washing the dishes, and then I light up for a second and go, huh? And that's all. That's all you would witness.
Yeah, there you go. And then you're like, dishes left half.
Oh, shit.
Half clean,
I
got to
finish
dirty.
These dishes.
And then you have to go and print out. How many, we probably don't have the number. How many like different kinds of prints do you have?
Like different actual like
Let's
images.
Say currently, like how many do you try to have like when you set up?
I think I have something like 60 to 65 different pictures. Different
I mean, and
subjects.
It is paper. It's probably easily storable and portable.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing. Paper. I can carry around 3,000 pieces of art.
Yeah,
in one hand, in a bag.
Isn't it like shirts and hats and, you know, like what bands have to deal with?
Very space efficient.
Yeah. And then you just have a wall you're hanging up on. And just
one thumbtack, you got it. There you go.
And this, what's great is, you know, talking about pictures on an audio only podcast. If you're listening to this, highly check out Jackdaw Folk. How did the word Jackdaw, like, what's that mean? Is that a thing?
Daw is my middle name.
Oh,
so Jackdaw is just,
perfect.
Jack Which Daw another something. Going back to what names mean and the hilarity of names. So Jackdaw is kind of a synonym, I guess, in England, maybe in older England, but it'd be a synonym for like jackass or idiot. So Jackdaw Russell literally means like idiot redhead.
Wow.
Which is just, I'll take it.
Your name
sets the bar comfortably.
Your entire name encompasses a level of folksiness. I would describe your art as folksy just because it really appeals to the Texan in all of us.
It does. I don't have a master's of fine arts, so I technically can't call it fine art probably legally. I don't know.
No.
But also, it's, you know, I show up to the people.
Your art,
I show up
your
at
art's
the,
for the people.
Yeah, I'm on the street. I'm on the curb. I'm there for the little guy, and they're priced to move. They're affordable.
I know you have some shirts. I brought a shirt that I bought a while back, but it's a large, and there's sometimes, unfortunately, on rare occasions, a large.
Don't always be a large anymore.
Yeah. Do you sometimes just do like runs of shirts?
Yeah, I have a buddy like that many people are probably familiar with, Andrew Hammond Kendall, also known as AHK, the artist. But he does screen printing, all sorts of posters, and he does lots of shirts, his own shirts and other designs.
Nice.
So he's great for printing up some of my stuff.
Do you have a business?
He does. It's he has Instagram, AHK underscore TX underscore America,
nice.
I believe.
And there we actually and you're working with I love all the like networking, you know, behind all this, especially with the world I don't know too much about, like local, you know, printing arts and the like, but that's also great because you guys work together.
We team up
a
lot.
I do this, you do that, but it works together. It's very simpatico with what you want to do.
Yeah, we were even looking to get like perhaps a working studio / gallery together just months, maybe 2 months before the pandemic ensued. And we're like, boy, I'm glad we didn't lock down that $2,000 a month space for no reason.
Sign a dotted line that can't really go back on.
So that's why the studio's in the kitchen.
Oh, there you go, because you can still pay the rent here.
Yeah.
So you're also a musician.
Sometimes. And somewhat. Bass player. I don't know if musician is the preferred term. Bass player. I can't play a piano or really much of a guitar.
Everyone can play a piano. Or saxophone. If you hit the keys slowly enough, it sounds like music.
That's one thing I learned. I've seen it.
That's one thing I've done, you know, plenty of times in my life. You hit it and you're like, this could sound like any song anywhere.
Like, what's this key sound
as
like?
As long as you don't hit too many at the same time, then it sounds discordant. You're like, ew.
Or you want to space them out a little bit.
Yeah. And then it sounds like this could be in any movie. It just ding, ding, ding. You know, thank you, Eyes Wide Shut. And
this is the birth of my future soundtrack career.
So what was your first band?
The first band I ever
very first
played in, like publicly, was Whiskey Folk Ramblers. Okay.
And that's, all right, yeah, I didn't know if that was going to be like the first one we got to. That is, who is all in that?
That was quite a rotating cast.
Okay, well, that aside.
Tyler Rouget wrote all the songs.
Okay,
he was the singer, guitar player.
Focal point.
It's basically Tyler Rouget, and I was there for pretty much all of that. And then I think we had 40-some-odd other members.
Oh, okay. How many, like, at a given time? It was kind of like a folk punk.
It was usually a 5 to 6 person band. Yeah, okay. We kind of always got thrown in the alt country Americana vibe, but it was very, I don't know, kind of weird punk ethos.
It's a hot genre these days. Well, it has been for a while.
It really took off about, I guess, the same time we were, which I think was part of our bit of popularity at the time, but. Are people still doing that? They still do America songs?
Yeah, I think y'all's. Without knowing too much, I say your spiritual successors would be like the Vandaliers.
Oh yeah,
Which I saw the sticker on one of the cars pulling up. But in my head, without clarifying any details, I thought maybe someone from the Gamblers was in Vandaliers, or that was like a successor band or something. Without knowing any people behind who was actually in those bands.
Yeah. Well, you are right. Yeah. I was originally playing with Vandaliers when they started.
Really?
And then also still currently.
I love assuming shit that I pull out of my ass.
You felt it.
See,
trust your gut.
But
yeah,
dots.
There are 2 ex Ramblers in Vandaliers currently.
Makes all the sense to me. Yeah.
It just fits.
But you didn't make the cut. I'm sorry.
Yeah, They're like, hey, we're going to tour like 150 days a year.
Oh,
like, you guys have a lot of fun with
those
that.
Those dudes tour.
They are. I'm a little pissed now that they're going to Europe and doing cruise lines. So like, well, maybe you want me to jump in
tour
and guest
Molly
bass
and
play that thing for a...
Yeah. You need two
shows,
bass players in a song. You're like, hey, we technically don't need one.
Take it to the next level. Call me Vandaliers.
I saw them.
Let's go to Prague.
They came home from tour and played what happened to be the last show at Lola's on the inside.
Oh yeah,
and that was the first time me seeing them. I got to talk to Sean. Is that
Josh?
Josh.
Perhaps?
Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Josh Fleming,
lead
singer.
Yeah, because me and
quite the front man.
Me and the Vandaliers are like the Twitter, me on Twitter and them on Twitter. We're like we constantly like each other's things,
like Twitter
and,
buddies.
Yeah, and the Vandaliers are huge fans as well as of Kyle Kinane, and they they're just fans of him and his comedy. And I Kyle Kinane does a podcast with Dave Stone. And he's a comic I had twice at Mass, Maine at Southside, if anybody doesn't know what that means. And then I had Rest in peace. I had him scheduled again at Mass last December. Of course, Mass closed that September.
That's why?
And that's what?
That's why?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, Dave's coming back.
I had a great comic.
Let's just shut it down.
I had to charge a cover for, God forbid.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I charged a cover 5 times at Mass, and two of those were for Dave, because he brings like a little bit of a crowd.
It's Dave Stone.
Yeah, and he's great, and so we moved the show. We got the show moved to a small room at a club, and I hit up the Vandaliers. They they knew who Dave Stone was because they listened to Kyle Kinane does a podcast called the Boogie Monster Podcast with Dave Stone. They both, Kinane lives in like Oregon now, and Dave lives in LA. So they do it online. Dave, though, he's originally from Atlanta, and he's hot big Atlanta on like country, rock, and everything. And, you know, Kyle's kind of like more punk, you know, in their music. So Dave always does like a music recommendation. And one time he's like, man, he's like, not too much is really hitting me these days, you know, but except the new Vandaliers album. And I remember one time he took a picture, you know, you could see his like record collection behind him with Vandaliers. I made sure to tag them. And they probably already saw it. They probably already liked the post. They're clued in. And then so I had Dave.
It was had to run it past all their management.
Yeah. I had Dave at Hyenas, and I hit up the Vandaliers like, hey guys, I know I got Dave on this date. If y'all are in town, you're all on the guest list plus one. I just, you know, y'all, this is why I do this. So people, you know, y'all are Fort Worth bands, but Dave is also a huge fan of you.
Right. And, cool people coming together.
And Sunday morning, afternoon was the day they're pulling in from tour.
Oh, perfect.
And the Vandaliers aren't a straight edge band. So them on tour is probably a rowdy, you know, honky tonking good time.
Yeah.
And I totally understood. I was like, hey, if any of y'all can't, I totally get it. You just came in from tour. But just let you know, it's an option. If any of y'all come out, like, let me know. I can put your names down. But all the Vandaliers, you know, I don't care. You know, I'm not making, you know, I had to charge tickets to, you know, pay Dave and hopefully pay myself and definitely pay the other comics. I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Right.
I want people that I know will love the show there.
Dave would be down for a free Vando table in the back there.
And we got the fiddle player.
Oh, yeah. Old Travis Curry.
Travis showed up with his wife, who's also the tour manager. And I was talking, Dave was talking to like a super fan. And Travis was talking to me and the other comics. And him and his wife, like, I was like, hey, dude, thanks for coming out. I totally get you guys are probably just wrecked from the road. He was like, well, me and my wife, and she was there, great people. Like, well, we don't have any kids, and like, we live in a trailer. So we literally pulled in, unloaded the stuff, and drove here.
Oh,
I was like,
wow.
Hell yeah. And they love the show. And then I introduced him to Dave. I love introducing people, especially at this point, yes. I was like, hey, Dave, Travis from the Vandaliers. And I even told him beforehand, Dave and I went to, Dave's a bit of a foodie.
Oh, yeah. Well, Travis is a great guy to know in the foodie range.
Oh.
Or if you're ever just driving around the country, you will pull into literally any town anywhere, and Travis will know the best restaurant in that town. I don't know why.
They probably talk for like a half hour easy, and probably even broach that subject, because I have a theory that Dave goes on tour just so he can... Like, he has a cookbook out, and he just knows. He looked up Texas Monthly, the best barbecue in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And they...
You start knocking them out.
I'm blanking on the name. He's been to plenty of places in Texas. Like, he's been to Heim. We went to a place, it's in Fort Worth, but technically Kennedale.
Oh, is that like Goldie's, maybe?
Goldie's.
Yeah, the new young upstart.
Yeah. And that was claiming the crown. Number one by Texas Monthly. And I hit up Dave, like, hey, man, I know you're... I was like... He's like, yeah, I'm thinking about going to Goldie's. I'm like, I'd love to, you know, meet up with you. I'm like, that's not that far from me. And I was like, yeah, we shot for this time. And I looked at their hours. I was like, hey, they're open for like 9 hours a week.
Right.
Sunday, like 11 to...
And that's if they don't sell out ahead of
when
time.
When we sell out. Theoretically, three, but they're going to sell out. And then we're like, okay, how about this? We moved it earlier. And then he hit me up. He's like... Hey, that day, he's like, hey, I got done with my stuff earlier. You want to meet up? I'm like, that's probably a great idea.
Yeah.
And he said it was the best barbecue he's ever had.
Really?
And this is a guy from Georgia. He tours in the South plenty.
Right, so
he goes on the road.
He's had a couple barbecues.
And he cooks himself, so I value his opinion.
All right. I still haven't been there because, once I hadn't heard of it until like all the hype came out, and then I knew that's just going to be like a 100-person line.
And it's podunk as shit, man. You go up, like, you could drive by it not realizing you're going past, you know, excellent rated
barbecue. The number
one
rated Texas barbecue.
It looks like a double wide and like a bit of a like warehousey kind of, and there's nothing across the street. There's nothing down the street either way.
Wow.
You can just hear like some sport gunshots in the distance. So we're waiting in line. We heard some gunshots there. We're like, those probably aren't malicious.
That's just country stuff.
And I was like, both was like, this bodes well.
Right.
And it was, he was sitting
there.
That's
just good,
like,
ambiance.
He was like, oh, that we sat on the porch.
You know. The shotgun again. I'm going to eat this sausage link.
But it was nice to eat barbecue with a big fan of barbecue. And I like it. I don't really go out of my way too much for it. And
yeah.
I'm like, no, it's pretty good. He's like, this is amazing. I was like, all
He's
right.
Like, No, dude, this is amazing.
But no, that's good. I'm glad I was right about some of the gamblers.
Yeah.
The whiskey folk. No, well, not the riverboat.
It's the ramblers.
God damn it.
Literally, okay. The first radio interview that whiskey folk ever had.
Whiskey folk.
They called us the gamblers.
Well, we were talking before about the riverboat gamblers.
Well, we did gamble, and we played a few casinos.
Oh. All
right. One of my fondest memories was I think I had $5 to my name in Davenport, Iowa, and whiskey folk went to a casino, and I turned that into $20, and then I left. And I ate Taco Bell for like a week.
And this was back, you know, some years ago where the value menu was more valuable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Burritos for a nickel.
So, yeah, I see. Didn't y'all like shorten it to, or most people say whiskey folk, or was it just?
Oh, yeah. I think it's just, it's technically whiskey folk ramblers.
Yeah.
But, yeah. WFR whiskey folk. It's just, it's too many words.
And then, you know,
or the ramblers.
We're talking about the riverboat gamblers. And those names are maybe have the same syllables in there. Whiskey folk. Ramblers,
and we kind of came out Riverboat near the same time from near the same area.
Yeah.
So, and they went on to like success, and we went on to our art studio
success and broke punctured lungs. So,
but the continuing saga of Whiskey Folk Ramblers, while we're on topic, is that Tyler, the singer of Whiskey Folk Ramblers, songwriter, all that, basically the Whiskey Folk Rambler, he and I have a 3-piece garage band called Crooked Bones.
Oh, yes.
And so that's it's Tyler singing, playing guitar, I'm on bass, and then our friend Alex on drums.
Oh, nice.
And we got some shows coming up around the Fort Worth, Dallas, Denton area.
Oh, perfect. Where at?
I believe 2 shows at the Cicada.
Ah, yes.
Brand new, revitalized from mass.
From the bones of mass.
From the bones of mass rises the Cicada. And then, one up at Harvest House, and I
love Harvest House. That
Double Wide. I don't know. I'm just throwing names out there. Something in Dallas.
I've done some comedy at Harvest House.
It's a nice spot.
Yeah.
Huge patio.
Probably really good for, I don't think I've seen music there, but that patio is really big.
Really big patio.
And great stage.
You get you some patio weather, you got a heck of a patio.
My buddies would run a monthly show at Harvest House. And it got like it was free. It was on a Wednesday. The crowds would be there. It paid. It was great. But every comic, if they hadn't been up there, and if we did or did not tell them beforehand, like, so comics would go up there, they'd have a really good set, and they come off looking a little despondent, and they're like, what did that? Did nothing work? What happened? I don't know. They're like, no, dude, you had a really good set, because when you're on stage, like, the crowd's not mic'd and it's big, open.
It's just the
so
sound.
It's really hard to hear laughter. Yeah. And so, you had to tell comics, like, anytime I was on that show and comics hadn't been on there. And the hosts, my buddies Taylor and Brad, they got good at telling comics, like, hey, it's going to be kind of hard to hear the laughter. These are usually really good crowds. And we'll tell you, if you have a good set, we'll tell you.
Don't worry.
If not, we'll lie to you.
Yeah.
But, and so.
Maybe ditch that one bit. I don't know.
You try really hard to invoke some laughter so you could hear it. You're like, I know this is going well. But also it's like, just pretend like you're having the set of your life.
There you go.
They're watching. They're enjoying it.
Even, and it's all about performance. So even a kind of a fake it until you make it. So even if they're not laughing, you gotta go out.
Just perform. There's probably 100 people here. Just act like you're performing for 1,000.
That's why when I watch a comedy show, in between every joke, I will yell at the top of my lungs, "Ha ha, that was funny!" And then they think I'm heckling, and I get thrown out sometimes. But I'm just trying to let them know, because I know.
No, the
being on stage, you don't always know.
We don't need words. Yeah. We're trying to get past words.
The laughter let me know it was funny. Thank you.
Yeah, that's it. That's as simple. That's as bare bones as it needs to be. But Harvest House, great spot. But now we've moved. Denton has moved indoors to Dan Silverleaf.
Oh, okay.
Which also is a great spot. Yeah. Great spot for comedy.
Whiskey Folk Ramblers did a lot of shows. Old Dan Silverleaf.
Do not doubt that at all. And then you got Double Wide, which place I haven't marked. That's a P reference with comedy yet. It's an odd setup. Small venue right there on a weird kind of butt end of Deep Ellum.
Yeah. The accessible end of Deep Ellum.
It is, but God forbid you need a park around there.
Yeah, there's not so
the
much
one knock against that. The Double Wide I have is like I could get there really early and park on one of the two streets for free.
Yeah.
But then where the fuck am I gonna park beyond that?
Yeah. That's a fair point.
I did go to their it was like their 20th anniversary show. And then I got to see Quaker City Nighthawks and then The Sword.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which turned out to be one of the last few Sword shows because The Sword broke up like less than a month after that. I had a great run. They had a really good run. And it was really cool to see Quaker City and The Sword there, two primo Texas bands.
Definitely.
In the parking lot of Double Wide. It's a really cool venue. I've seen some shows there, just not as many.
I've always been, it's one of the staples for me in Deep Ellum or Deep Ellum adjacent. I don't know if they've been around since 2000, 2005. I guess you just said the 20th anniversary. So
I believe it's 20th. Maybe
okay.
25th, but definitely something.
So yeah, sometime early 2000. I know I've been going there forever. I've been going there so long that the first time I went there, I was drinking Jaeger because I was a young person.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember asking for a shot of Jaeger and they gave me an entire glass of Jaeger.
Oh.
And I think it was $5. And then I died.
If I space my Jaeger out into like twice a year, it's fine.
I hate that shit. But you always have this one friend. I have one friend, and he'll be like, "You want a shot?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I never think about it, and I forget that it's always Jaeger with this guy.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, there's Jaeger.
Well, that's how I built up.
And I take
kind
it out
of
politeness.
Tolerance for it. Back in my early days of comedy, there were some open mics that comics would just. It might be the only open mic that night. And it was, we just go and close down the bar and just, you know, when I started, a lot of comics were heavy experienced drinkers.
Seems to go well with comedy.
Yeah. These days though, you got plenty of like sober comics for, you know, a myriad of reasons.
Millennials.
Yeah. Or legal reasons or whatever, or they're just more into weed but back then we were all seasoned drinkers and my buddy Paul Varghese, his go-to was like, "You wanna do a shot?" And it was implied, you knew at some point, no, this is going to be Jaeger. And it's like, sure, I've had X amount of beer tonight or any other kind of drink. Let's make the great decision to throw Jaeger in the mix. And it was,
see where this takes us.
And it was, that's his go-to shot. And I just kind of, it's not something I actively order ever.
I just know, I'm trying to think like how Jaeger became, and I'm picturing some guy vomiting cough syrup and rubbing alcohol into his toilet, and then for whatever reason scooping it up and putting it back in his mouth and being like, "Oh, well, I just made Jaeger."
Yeah. And then I their logo, I want to say it's kind of metal.
Well, Jaeger
for some reason
does include deer cum.
Okay.
Which is hence the
and ground up antler.
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit of that sexual potency.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Make you fuck like deer.
Are they known for their sexual prowess?
a lot of young college guys hitting that stuff pretty hard. So no, I'm going to say no.
I want to say some band or two, like kind of, you know, slightly ripped off their logo and like made it kind of their own. Because for some reason, every time I picture their logo, I think of like a metal band.
I picture the weird Texas Rangers deer with hand horns.
Something like that.
Figured out what that
and
thing
there's
was.
Like a star. I think I saw a band that took that, and then I think there's a star in the Jaeger logo. Maybe could be wrong, but then said they just made it a pentagram instead.
Oh, there you go.
So
that's metal.
And I'm gonna take a guess. I want to think it was the band Goat Whore that did it. I want to think that's it.
Maybe they thought it was a goat,
or they just sponsored like Ozfest or something, and then I saw it there, and it just became synonymous with metal. It is kind of a metal drink because you hang around with some metalheads, they
like
want to shoot some fucking Jaeger.
Man, that Jaeger.
Like, I got to show how tough I am, and we don't have any Wild Turkey right
now.
Is
it important to mention that the podcast is sponsored by Jaeger? Is that like
unofficial?
Illegal?
Every sponsor is unofficial.
Cool.
Until we get an official sponsor.
Pay up, Jaeger.
Send me a bottle.
Come on. I got a friend who'll drink it.
Or I'll keep mentioning you until you pay me to stop. It's called anti-marketing.
Yes.
That's the goal with this.
Here's $20. Leave us out of your podcast. Stop shitting on our terrible liquor. Or liqueur. I don't even know what it is.
I think it's a liqueur.
Liqueur.
It's a little cinnamon. That one, I used to think that, you know, if any alcohol should be illegal, it was Jaeger, Goldschlager, and Rumpelmintz.
Goldschlager.
But I kind of take Jaeger off that because I can shoot Jaeger once in a blue moon and be fine. As long as it's one and I've had maybe two beers that entire night, then I can handle it.
Boy.
Okay.
Some of those other ones.
Oh, but Goldschlager, fuck off.
I remember being a very young person, like below drinking age, but I was at a house party, and there's Goldschlager, which is super classy at the time, because this is like 1995, I don't know. And I had so many shots of it, and I'm trying to mac on this chick on the couch next to me, and then I ended up throwing up. But I caught all my throw up in my two hands.
Hey.
And then I turned and looked at her and I said, "It's okay, I caught it." And then I went and washed my hands off in the bathroom. And when I came back, she wasn't on the couch at all.
Oh.
And I never saw her again.
Oh.
Goldschlager.
Until the,
not even once.
Until the day you married her.
Does that stuff still exist?
What, Goldschlager?
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Oh, my God.
I rarely go.
What's the price of gold these days?
Liquor store. I don't drink it. We have so much old. We have plenty of old liquor in like some cabinets.
Four half-empty bottles of Grand Marnier for some reason.
But me and Sarah just aren't, you know, home.
You're never
drinkers.
Sure if it's expired.
The last time she brought home like a half bottle of wine, she's like, "You know what? I'm just gonna finish this."
Yeah,
you know, like that's the alcohol. It's like that, or you know, she'll have
just out of some sense of duty and not wasting food.
Yeah, like,
clean your
already
plate,
open.
Clean
you know?
Your wine bottle,
like the rest of the stuff's in bottles, and you know
it can sit
half, you know, open. But
just a half inch of dust on top of the whiskey bottle.
Just
old and
drinking
responsible.
At home, I just never, I don't like it because you know, I sit on the couch. Say, I learned this a long time ago. Sit on the couch, have a beer. 20 minutes later, I'm taking a nap.
Yeah,
I'm like, you know what? I can do that on my own. You know, with the power of marijuana, or not even that. Sober, I can take a nap on by myself. But when I'm out and about and I want to have a drink, I got like that social energy I can latch on to.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Put alcohol in there and I'm good to go. I'm not yawning or getting tired.
That's why I do the whiskey and Coke. It's like that little caffeine boost.
My drink of choice these days, just I'm trying to like eat better, live a little bit better. I have to go call vodka. Not well, I hate.
Oh, those. Yeah. No, yeah.
Call vodka and soda. Maybe spruce it up, get a call vodka. Probably Tito's, unofficial sponsor. Tito's and Sprite.
Yeah.
Jameson and Sprite, which I really enjoy as a drink.
And now they have the orange Jameson.
Yeah.
I throw that in a Sprite, and it's
like
a
ooh.
Tarnished dreamsicle or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Not bad.
Okay.
But yeah, I finally also like gotten old enough where I don't drink well. Whiskey anymore. I'm like, I've got a couple dollars in the bank. I can treat myself to
Tums
this
are
Jim
cheap,
Beam.
But also, you don't want to keep pounding the Tums back just to counteract the
Kentucky
bad drinking
Deluxe
choices.
That you suck the bottle of.
And it's like, I don't want to keep having, like, I rarely have acid reflux these days because of, you know, when I do drink, I'm sticking with,
spend
you know,
the extra buck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anytime I slip up, you know, say I'm having a few Tito's and sodas that sometimes I'll say vodka, I'll say vodka and soda, and then immediately I'm like
oh no,
I'm like, damn it, whatever, I'll sandwich this in between,
it'll be fine.
Vodka,
at least vodka kind of has no flavor. You get that well whiskey, once you've moved on to the finer things, you notice.
Yeah,
you notice.
I just can't be, especially like a shot of well
whiskey. It's like if you'd gotten a whiskey and Pepsi, like you notice.
Oh, yeah,
it's not right.
You can't the older you get, the more refined or worn out your taste buds get. The more you can notice, I say worn out, that makes sense, but you can notice the difference between well and not well.
The taste buds are tired of the bullshit.
You shoot a well, you drink a well, you start to feel not well.
Yeah,
and you're like,
the math doesn't check out, but there it is.
You're like, oh, this sucks, I don't feel good. I'm gonna need some Tums and I might throw up later.
Yeah.
That's not a good night.
That's a night.
And you throw up and you're going to take more Tums. Yeah. That's even if you prepare with the antacid, you know, before the pills beforehand.
Yeah, and like I just, I do.
I didn't want to have to keep going down that road. I'm just like, you know what? Just do the stuff. I've even like looked up. You ever like look up? You ever Googled healthiest drinks, like healthiest alcohol? You're like, all right,
time to grow up. That was a thing.
But they basically say it's the clear, you know, vodka or tequila.
That makes sense. And I guess that's what I always thought.
And I'm like, all right, well, throw in Sprite, I guess, or
just make it clear stuff. Give me all the clear stuff.
Yeah. Or, you know, sometimes whiskey.
And some cheap cocaine. Yeah.
But they all pair well with the cigarette.
Definitely.
Yeah. But so you got I know we're not done with all the bands yet. I hear they're maybe defunct now. The Daybreak Hits.
Yes. I think we're, I don't know, at least temporarily or maybe, I don't know.
Hiatus, possibly.
Some kind of hiatus.
John was telling me.
Yeah, we're on a hiatus. There's things. Everybody in Daybreak Hits is very old, so.
And dadded up.
Dadded up.
We're all dads.
Doing business stuff, yeah. You know. So it's.
Various irons and fires.
Yeah, we put out an album. We played, I don't know, a dozen or more shows promoting the album. And I think that was kind of the. That was the biggest impetus for the band, was just putting that out.
And then
it was like, all right, well, you guys heard it, so we're done here.
Ryan Higgs, John Carney, and who?
Austin Green, who is in half of the bands that have ever played in Fort Worth. Bones on guitar. Mr. Maui on keys. And myself on bass. That sounds like the whole band.
Wait, who's Bones? Is that a nickname? I don't know.
Bones, yeah. Bones de la Crusher.
That doesn't sound like a real name for a human being, I know.
Secret wizard metal guitar player.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it John Carney's nickname? John Carney was in that band, right?
Yeah. Carney. Okay. Yeah, Carney is also another guitar player. There's like, I don't know, there's actually like 14 guitars at any one time.
Okay, I thought it was just like a four-piece. Okay.
It's crazy. Okay. Well, it's great being a bass player behind, because there's literally three guitar players. And being a bass player behind that, you don't have to do a lot, because they kind of take care of things.
Fancied yourself a little Iron Maiden, huh?
Yeah, I just get a little boom, boom. Oh, there's my dog in the background.
Oh, yeah.
That's Lily. She wants to be on the radio.
Oh, that's fine. Well, the dogs, they're not stationary enough, and they're hard to have the headphones on there. Trust me, I'd love to interview a dog for a podcast. If I could interview a dog or a baby for a podcast that would occasionally, like, quote-unquote, talk back, I think that'd be super funny.
I think once we figure out like these electrical nodes and how to hook them up to people, I think we can read babies' brains and probably dogs' brains. It'll be cool.
I don't want to pierce that veil. that's probably something we don't need to know.
The baby's just like, stop touching my dick. Like, I was wiping it off for you.
No, I think babies just have like just a way of thinking about the world that we all had that at one point. But we just, it would be frightening for us to revisit that.
Oh, God.
Because it's so pure in the way they look at the world, and they can laugh at the simplest things, or they cry for like weird reasons. Well, you know what? Some people can relate to that part, just crying for no reason.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, yeah. As soon as we're done with this, that's probably what I'll go back to doing.
I'll be like, Jack, can you wait for me to finish my smoke for you?
Yeah, I know.
At least that.
I don't mean for this to get awkward. I'm sorry, everybody.
Oh, are some of your prints tear stained? Okay.
Maybe from time to time. There is blood and saliva on probably a lot of them.
I should hope so. That's what art.
No tears.
About.
I'm all man. I was just joking about the crying stuff.
No, there needs to be some blood in the art.
Certainly.
In some way. Hopefully not all metaphorical.
Make it physical, visceral. Like it's art, you know?
Some people do go that far. Thank you, Metallica's Load. And Reload.
Good for
that. You know that, right?
I don't know.
Apparently, the artist, now, maybe an urban myth, or maybe it's the artist, but apparently Metallica's Load album, the weird, smeary,
I can sort of
is a mixture of blood and semen.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
That's too far.
Yeah, Metallica was like, you know, ditch and thrash.
Put a little semen in there.
How can we top the Black Album? You can't, so let's just go weird. We already got these haircuts.
Lars is like, dude, let's put some earwax. I'm like, no, Lars.
How about
earwax?
You practice drums, Lars? No. Blood and semen on the album cover.
And
God
earwax.
Damn it.
No.
If you weren't the longest tenured member besides James.
I found this stuff under my toenail. No.
You know that? That's the
We'll save it for Reload.
which is probably just another load of blood and semen. I went and like listened to some tracks off of those. Not that bad. It's definitely all like right. rock and roll.
We talk about Metallica. Lily gets going. Is Metallica outside the window, Lily?
Possibly.
All right.
You're lucky this is an unprofessional
that's
podcast.
Out of you. Oh. This will definitely be edited out later, so that's good.
Oh, no, it's not. It is not. So I'm glad I turned the mics down, because maybe we'll see how the listening audience enjoys.
Hey.
I'll see. Dog. Oh, here we go. Okay.
All right.
So anyways,
have some respect for the art of the
what
podcast.
What do you think about Metallica's latest? Do you have any opinions on Death Magnetic?
Oh gosh, yeah, I definitely lost track of Metallica after the Black Album.
Yeah,
and a lot of people like shit on the Black Album, but I really
enjoyed.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Black Album. I'm older, so I was there for the Master of Puppets and Ride the Light and all that stuff. I was into that, and then Black Album showed up. I thought that was pretty good.
And thrash can only go so far.
Yeah,
like I just didn't care anymore after that, monumental thrash albums, you know, and you know the death of Cliff Burton, who was one of your the guy that was making all these amazing, songs for you. But then it's like, how far can this go? Because even like your modern day thrash bands can't escape the retroness of thrash. It is
it's a dated vibe regardless
definitely
of how.
80s, you got your battle vest on, fast, fast riffs, hair, and partying. It's a very limited, you can only.
That's how Motley Crue made, two awesome albums, and then you just couldn't. Where do you go from there?
Yeah,
Guns N' Roses only got one.
Yeah, did you see the Pam and Tommy show?
I never did.
Okay, it's on Hulu. I highly recommend it. But then they kind of go into it's about their sex tape getting stolen and released. But then
that was kind of a deal.
It kind of shows a little bit of that '90s Motley Crue that just kind of lost. Like, hey, hair metal's over. We're not grunge. And it was kind of showed a little bit of their like restyling.
Oh gosh.
Of how.
Yeah. I want to see the MTV Unplugged Motley Crue.
No, that, thank God. MTV for all its faults. Did that to us.
Kurt Cobain killed himself directly after the MTV Unplugged. They're like, here, let's do this acoustic thing. He's like, that's not what we sound like. And then he killed himself.
Really?
No. Yeah.
Like, seriously? I never looked at those dates.
Oh, did you ever read the journals?
No.
Oh, his journals were like, it was the MTV Unplugged.
I feel like you're fucking with me.
I don't know, man. It was a long time ago. I feel like that's what it was.
It's like history will remember how I say it should remember. I like doing that when I know something isn't wrong, but it sounds
like
it could be. Right? And I'm like, you know what? I'm sticking with that. Yeah. Unless somebody wants to fact check me, go right ahead. But if you stick with it, someone else is going to think that, and someone else, and then you just go back.
Just
and
say things with confidence.
Yeah, and that's hilarious, but also
if
sad.
It feels spiritually correct, it's probably more real than whatever the fact is.
Yeah, this feels better the way I want it to. I want it to be. I want it to be remembered.
Exactly.
Put it out there, and maybe it's just going to stay like that.
Davy Crockett died with a knife in his hand.
Big Text was always on fire.
He's always been on fire.
Like did
in my
like
heart.
That like every year we just lit him on fire in effigy like a wicker man.
I've been trying to push that notion.
And now with your art,
it'd be incredible.
It can be like that. It's like, no, every year he was just constantly
last day
on
of the
fire.
Fair, we burn him every year. You're roasting $5 marshmallows on his boots, you're making a killing.
And some kids born today will be like, yeah. That's
how it always was.
That's what this shirt says. Or that's what this art says that I bought from this
so
6-year-old guy on the street. You got any new prints in the work? Got any new ideas?
I do have just this.
I mean, you can say it because we can't see it.
Oh, that's right.
It hasn't been.
Yeah.
Or someone could steal it.
But no, I just have a billion ideas. And
what's the latest one? Something people can see now? What's your
newest? So the latest one, which I thought was pretty good. And not one person has bought it. It's pretty new, so it hasn't been around a whole lot, but people have bought a lot of other things besides this one in that space of time. But it was a kind of a silly portrait of John Wesley Hardin. I know a lot of people probably aren't familiar with him. He was a famous Texas gunfighter. Okay. Not a bank robber,
You said the three names, so I was just like,
he killed somebody. There's a middle name, and then he killed somebody.
But maybe with some honor, or, you know, that he thought.
He was a wild man, but yeah, he doesn't even matter. So I changed the title to just Gunslinger. Okay. So it's just it looks like an Old West cowboy guy. Oh, there's an Old West cowboy guy in the room with us. The dog's freaking out. All right, she got rid of him.
Oh. Hello. We're recording a podcast.
Oh, are there other people? There's just people wandering around in my house.
I think your better half is home.
Okay. But yeah, anyway, yeah, no, sometimes I make a dumb piece of art that nobody likes, and so my bring up the latest one, and it just happens to be a real crapper that nobody cares about.
Stick with the hits, I
That's
guess.
Fine. Yeah, much go like back bands. Go back to what you know. Just do Whataburger.
You can only put out so many loads and reloads out there. People just want to hear.
Well, and sometimes I like to do one for me. Like, I have a piece that's very North Richland Hills specific.
Okay.
And so, like, literally almost no one knows what that even is. And I just had to do it. I have another one. It's like a mashup of Pancho Villa at Pancho's Mexican Buffet. And I know there's no market for this sort of thing, but sometimes you get an idea in your head and you just have to do it for yourself.
Maybe go. I know there's a Pancho's in South Arlington. Maybe they will buy some from
I believe
you.
There are four left in all of existence.
Wow.
After their massive heyday of the 80s and 90s.
The flags are
there's
slowly,
two in Houston and there's two in the
they're slowly
Fort
getting
Worth
lowered
area. Yeah.
One by one. Or maybe
lower
the city
the
of
flag.
North Richland Hills will purchase your North Richland Hillsy pieces.
They did put it on a billboard.
Oh,
so that was nice.
Really?
For a couple months, it was on a billboard. You could drive down the freeway and look at my silly
that's cool.
North Richland Hills art.
How big was your social media handle on there?
I think it was pretty small, and they probably misspelled my name. I don't
know.
Oh,
okay.
What can you do?
Oh, it's a hard name to
spell. I know, right? Jackdog. Wait, what was it? Whatever.
You ever had, like, do you do like an online thing as well, or do people just kind of have to like email you about
like
it?
An online shop?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I do have like an Etsy Etsy store. That's where I do most of the any online. They are prints, so they're very easy to mail and ship.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you go on the Etsy.com and look up Jack Daw Folk Art, I got plenty of stuff on there.
Jack Daw Folk Art.
DAW. Jack Daw, like the bird.
Don't say it too quickly.
The idiot
then
bird.
It sounds like Jack Daw Folk Art.
You could. There's a lot of things you could do. I was gonna start like these joke paintings, and they were gonna be jacked off. It was like an F on the end. Like,
yeah,
exactly. You read my
damn
mind.
Yeah.
But I abandoned it.
I can go a little bit more. You know,
I got other stuff
risky
to do. I got to mow the yard and stuff. I can't make dumb joke paintings.
Yeah, I mean, it could, but then you'd have to probably interact with the person that's really into that, and then you're stuck.
Yeah. Then oh god.
You're stuck at your table for
the bottle of Jaeger and that person.
But anyways, what else can we do? What else am I missing that is the essence of one Jack Russell?
Well,
where are you born and raised? Like what area?
I was born in H-Town on the Third Coast in the Dirty South.
Oh wow.
Houston, Texas.
Oh, Houston boy.
All right. Oh, Houston boy. I wasn't there long. Oh, by the time I was five, we moved up to Dallas and then Fort Worth.
Oh,
so then no, I've just been here. So
So no deep roots with was it the Fifth Ward?
Just Texas as heck.
Okay.
Third Ward, Fifth Ward, South
whichever
Park.
Whichever one. I know different wards.
That's where I go.
Different things.
That's where I like to go fuck around.
Oh, okay.
I'll be going down to Houston for an art show this month.
How often do you get out of town for this?
I try to get out of town as much as I can. I'm going to Houston and then San Antonio both this month.
You're just in Austin.
I was just in Austin. Yeah. I do a lot of stuff in Austin. Trying to just get all around Texas. It's kind of like you were talking about the comedian driving around. Like it's mostly wanting to look somewhere to eat.
Yeah.
So it's like always making an adventure. I'll find like I'm gonna eat here and I'm gonna eat here and I'm gonna do this tourist thing and I'm gonna sell some art and drive home again.
Kind of pays your way.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like little mini vacations that make money.
It's kind of the same. Yeah. It's like if you can
hopefully make
score
money
a comedy show outside, you're like if I can break even, then it was worth it.
I did a show in Corpus Christi, and I made zero money. Well, I think I made $25.
Oh, all right.
And then I hadn't got a motel or anything yet. And I was like, dude, you can't even deserve a hotel. And I slept in my car on the beach which was super uncomfortable.
People write stories about that, so
yeah. But I will say, I saw the fucking Milky Way,
okay,
which is visible in Corpus Christi on the beach.
Okay,
so that was trippy.
It's like one of those one or zero zones that people that go out try to find the place with the littlest light pollution possible.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised because Corpus Christi is kind of a big town, but you get down there like on the beach and you look up and it's like a poster of the Milky Way.
Damn.
Freaked me out. Then I spent like 6 hours trying to sleep with like my head on the dashboard or some shit.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't prepare for that. And you're just like,
yeah. I was like, this will be fine. And then by like 4 in the morning, you've totally given up.
And there's no give a jacket with you. You're in Corpus. You're like, right? Eh.
Oh, wow. Well. But yeah, it's a character building.
Well, you wouldn't be a folk artist if you didn't have to sleep on a beach.
Exactly. You know. I'm paying my dues.
Yeah.
For the people.
Paying
the folk.
Your dues and paying college tuition as well. You got a kid in college, right?
Sure enough.
Oh, man.
He actually just left for Japan yesterday studying abroad as part
of... Oh, okay. I saw the post the college. About subletting his place.
Yeah.
So that's where he went. That's cool.
Yeah, so he's... Yeah, it's kind of trippy. He's on the other side of the world.
So he's going to go study Japanese bros. Okay. What's he studying?
He's studying film and Japanese. So I assume when he's done with that, he'll make a Japanese film and we'll all be rich.
So
and
he
I'm
wants
looking
to be Tarantino. Got it. Okay.
But all in Japanese.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
That'd
we'll
be
have to wait
language.
And see.
He should. Okay. Has he met Juma Spears?
Oh, yeah.
Because Juma likes...
I know Juma's a
he loves
Japanese.
Japan, man.
Yeah. And he's a Japanese speaker, Juma is.
Is he? Okay, yeah.
He literally can speak and write.
I did Dustin's podcast, and he was the other guest as well.
Oh, nice.
And
also, just a hell of a awesome local legend, Fort Worth rapper.
Yeah, oh, great dude. And I think maybe I didn't or did not know at that time, but just you know how much he loves Japan and has been over there. I think he's talking about his next trip planning over there.
Yeah, I know. I remember seeing a video he did with like a Japanese rapper. I think they had shot it over there, but it was cool.
Yeah, he's on my list as well of people I'd love to, if he's stateside.
Brush up on your Japanese.
Oh, I'll let him do it.
Konnichiwa.
I'll let him teach me the dirty words. But, all right, well, I think we've covered everything.
All right.
This is a nice house.
Thank you.
I do like coming into people's houses.
Get to.
And the podcast is just a way for me to, see how other people live.
Yeah, I saw you pocketing some stuff earlier, so gonna pat you down on the way out.
Okay, well, but those are my American spirits. You don't smoke my brand, so. But Jack, man, thanks a lot.
Absolutely, it's been
over.
A pleasure. Thank
you're definitely
you for
one
coming.
Of the people that I've known for a long time. That's really put your art out there. As much as saying that is weird, it's like my art. Because
I put my art out there.
Yeah, but you are you're an artist. You go out there. You're making a living off of it. And I've also seen you in bands before. And I like these people that just have various creative outlets. That's always interested me.
I gotta say we have in Fort Worth and Dallas, and we have just a very supportive community. A lot of people that go out and do cool shit and support stuff. And
despite being spread out, which I think that's one thing that, is great about DFW is we have room for literally everybody and all types of cultures. Like you can move here from the world and you can find people from your part of the world here. And chances are they'll have a neighborhood. You'll have restaurants and stuff like that. But we have so many people here and that just adds into the awesome creative, culture.
Yeah,
that is
a nice
DFW.
Big mix.
Like I grew up in Irving for the most part, lived in Euless, live in Arlington. So I've always been right in the center of DFW. So I've always hated the whole Dallas versus Fort Worth.
Yeah,
and
like I'm just in the middle.
In a smaller font versus Denton, just because I'm like, hey, fuck all of you. People, us in the burbs, we have to go to you to see the things, like seeing bands.
Because I'm not eating at fucking Applebee's.
Yeah. Like, I have to go see bands. I have to drive to see the bands I want to see. I have to drive to go do the comedy. I don't have time.
Just to go to a decent bar, I have to go to another city.
Like, I'm in Euless. There's nothing here. I'm in Irving. Irving has no nightlife. You have to go, you have to go a little north to do that. But that's if people just fucking drive just a little bit.
Right.
Then there's so much in DFW.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and I think if I just stick with it, the podcast has a long life of me just interviewing.
All around the Golden Triangle here.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what's the Golden Triangle?
I think that's the name for, like, Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton.
Oh. There's,
like,
oh.
three of them? I don't know.
Oh.
Or it's just a street in Keller. I don't know.
That was something that, like, you know, maybe North Richland Hills, Richland Hills, and Watauga were like, no, fuck.
It's where I pee a shape on your chest.
That was, like, your... That was like your rivalry against the HEB. It was weird saying that. Like, oh yeah, I'm working tonight in the HEB area. They're like, we have an HEB here. I'm like, no,
not the good HEB. The Hearst towns,
which should just be one city. Like,
why not?
If they just formed one city, then they'd have a mall.
Oh man,
they'd have. I got the Bedford Boys.
They kick Colleyville's ass or something. I don't know what they do with that.
I just think they should form up into one city. Definitely. And they have like a decent high school or something. But that's what's great.
What's that
about.
Smell, Ildy Bill? That's for you Hearst people. I don't even know where they're at. Euless?
I don't know. No, Ildy Bill's Hearst.
We're not sponsored by
Euless
Ildy Bill.
Is Trinity.
Sponsored by Jaeger.
And then that's where the second highest outside of the island of Tonga.
Oh yeah.
Euless
has
the
Tongans.
Highest population of Tongans outside of their
That's
native
wild.
Island. And I had a guy in Denton, of all places, explain to me the history of like the first family. This guy was not Tongan. And how like this first family came here, I think during the 60s or 70s.
Huh.
And so that was like the beachhead. Yeah. And that's what's great about DFW. From the island of Tonga.
You can just grow a specific community.
And then people there follow. Like, there's so many Tongans in Euless. There's multiple Tongan churches.
Wow, like, yeah.
Which, imagine.
And coming from, like, an island in the Pacific to Euless has got to be sort of strange.
Yeah, and that's what's great is, like, oh, we got a lot of Tongans in Euless. It's like, first of all, what's a Tongan? Is that a racial slur? I'm like, no, that's what you call people from this island.
They're from Tonga. It's okay.
But all right, Jack, thanks, man.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
Let's go have a cigarette.
Ah, there we go.
And look at some tea-stained paper.
You want a shot of Jaeger?
No, please, no. Don't do that to me. No, not, at least not while the sun's up.
Fair.
All right. Jack Daw Folk Art is the biz. It's the Etsy page, the Facebook page, the Instagram page.
Yeah, all the things. You search Jack Daw Folk Art.
Jack Daw, J-A-C-K space D-A-W. That's it. Or Folk Art.
Folkert.
Folkert. Jack Daw Folkert.
We'll be waiting for you.
Buy some art. He'll ship it to you. Go see him at weekly at the Lola's Rummage Sale on Sundays, noon to 5.
It's a monthly. It's a monthly deal.
Oh, monthly.
Don't just show
My
up
bad.
Any random Sunday.
My bad.
Yeah. Check your internet. The internet's full of all these
information.
I figured it was weekly.
Monthly. But also check his website or those pages to see where he's going to be at. He'll be at a
He'll be somewhere near you.
Vending event near you.
Always.
Or just buy it from him online. Also check out some Whiskey Folk Gamblers. God damn.
Oh, there it is.
Fuck, Ramblers. I specifically tried to think of the right word. Oh, thank God you're not a band
Brian,
anymore. This is annoying,
you guys
man.
Can't see this, but Brian just broke a blood vessel in his eyeball over that.
Well,
yeah, Whiskey Folk could use the Spotify play, so jump back in there, guys. It's still there. We can still have
Jack
pennies.
College tuition and Japanese.
Make that Skrilla.
Rent to pay.
Exactly.
So, all right, man. Thanks for listening. Download, like, subscribe, whatever. Come see me do stand-up if you want. April 8th, I'll be at Turning Point Brewing in Bedford. Yeah, Bedford.
HEB.
My buddy Josh, he's cornered the market on comedy and brewery shows. We've done, like, Farmer's Branch, Odd Muse, Turning Point Bedford, False Idol up the road here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's my neighbor.
And I did a show there last week, and it was like a cordless mic, kind of was going in and out, but there really wasn't a stage, so I kind of just walked around the crowd. Because
that's how you can get personal. Each person gets a different joke.
Pretty much. And then I would also gesture at these kids because people like bringing their kids to breweries for some.
I like it when people bring their babies and they hold their babies and they have about five beers and I'm just waiting for them to drop the baby. I've never seen the baby drop, but God, it's horrifying just waiting for it.
Stop bringing your minors to places that only sell alcoholic beverages.
You know you can't have fun and a baby at the same time. Like, what?
So I don't have
any. Leave the baby at home. Good call.
The pets can stay at home. All right. This has been the Breckening Podcast. Jack, for the third and fourth, fifth last time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
That. When I started doing this again, you're definitely one of the people I wanted to jib-jab with.
Jib-jab.
Bye, guys.